you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour, located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
Amen. And if this is your third time, act like it's the first time. So then you've got practice. You know when to shout and when not to shout. Amen. I know you will be on cue. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Amen. Hunt your neighbor and say, did you get that?
Amen.
All right. Hold on to that. And the Syrian had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Amen.
Amen.
Some folk ain't got one suit. He got 10 changes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now jump down, if you will, to verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wish in them, or wash in them, and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15 and final verse. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Amen. Amen. God is kind, and his mercy is everlasting. You do know, as well as I know, that there's some things money cannot buy. And as soon as some of us learn that lesson, we will be far, far better off than we are. Amen. The story of Naaman, captain of the Syrian host, is a very familiar, as I said, familiar passage, narrative, as relates to biblical stories. The prophet who the light of focus is now upon is the mentee of Elijah, who's now passed off the scene. This Elisha, who is now operating in the office, as a matter of fact, he is operating not only in the office of Elijah, but he manages to excel. He managed to excel his predecessor. He manages to become a much more powerful prophet than his predecessor. And that is ascribed to his prayer, his request to the prophet Elijah. Upon my leaving, what is it that I can do for you before I go? These are the words of the departing Elijah. And the young mentor said, or mentee said to his protege, or his mentor, I want you to pray that I will get a double portion of what God has given you. I want to be better than you. I don't want just what you have. I want to do what you do better. Oh yeah, I want you to do what you do. I want to do it better. For some who will critique Elisha's request, some would be tempted to label him arrogant. But not so. As a matter of fact, I considered it as a very humbling and honorable statement. Well, he said, I want a double portion of what you have, which really is a compliment to the gifts, the gifting, and the anointing that was on Elijah's life. So much so that this elderly prophet impressed upon this younger prophet, made such an impact on him that he not only just wanted the gifting, the anointing on his life, but I feel the need to ask for a double portion. I want double of what you have, because what you have is so awesome. What you have is so tremendous. What you have is so stupendous that I want a double anointing, a double dose of whatever it is that God has put on your life. I think that's commendable that the prophet Elijah lived and operated in his gifting in such a way that somebody else wanted that plus more of it. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't really realize what he was asking, but the prophet was astonished at his request. And so the prophet placed a condition. He didn't say you couldn't have it. He didn't say, oh, this is too much for you to handle. He didn't get upset and say, why do you want a double portion? He merely said, if you want it, this is what you have to do to get it. And I think it's a wonderful thing when those of us who are on the journey can get out of self, if you will, and allow ourselves to decrease and to buy in to the ambitions and dreams of those who are coming behind us. I contend that it's a wonderful thing to do something of a positive nature that somebody else wants to do better than, or at least more than what you're doing.
Well,
listen at Jesus. He says, greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. Now notice the language. He says, greater works than I've already done shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. Every teacher worth his or her grain of salt and character wants its student to do better than he or she. Every scientist wants his or her protege to make greater strides in experiments and in inventions than he himself. For the truth of the matter is, they become an extension of the main. I praise God for it. They become an extension of the original, if you will. Elijah is now an extension of Elijah. Elisha is an extension of Elijah. But in being an extension, he wants to be excellent in what he does. I want to be more than what you are presently doing. I want the ability to have a double anointing on my life, to the end that God will honor everything I do as he has honored you. And I'm going to need a double portion, a double anointing to carry out that kind of work, if you will. So then the prophet says, I'm going to set a condition on it. And it's up to you to make sure that you meet the condition if you're serious about having a double portion of what I have. I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to be the splitting image of me. I want you to be better than me. This is why the prophet never got disturbed by the request. He didn't count it as some kind of a shorthanded, if you will, backhand accommodation. No, he saw it for what it was. Here's a young man who's traveled with me, who's seen everything God has done through me, has heard my teachings, and has heeded my teaching. And now this young man is growing and becoming into his own, to the end that he wants to do greater work. This young man has an ambitious, adventurous attitude about the journey. He's not lazy. It's evident he's not lazy. He's not lazy. He's not lazy in his desire, because he goes beyond the norm. He's not trapped in the trepidation of traditionalism, but he has a great respect for the prophetic tradition itself. So that the prophet and his protege come to one agreement. You can have what you're asking for, but you got to meet the condition, because you're not entitled to it. You've got to earn what you're asking for. And too many of us walk around on the planet like we're entitled to something. We're just supposed to inherit it because of who we are. And I hear God say, not so. There's some things you've got to persevere for. There's some things you got to shake off the spirit of slothfulness and laziness and work, if you will, untiringly and intensely for it. There's just some things just won't fall to you just because of who you are. There's something will not automatically be at your fingertips. There's some levels of respect you're going to have to earn from people. They're not just going to give you respect because who your mama is or your daddy is or whatever. They need to respect you for who you are. I can't expect to ride on the coattails of those who were before me. I need to understand that there's some things I have to cultivate and create for myself if I'm going to be successful on the journey. So then the young man says to the prophet, listen, I want a double portion of what you have. The prophet sets the condition. He says, if you are around
when I leave. If you're around when the Lord takes me away and you witness my exit, you shall have what you ask for. And so they went on with this journey together. Elijah could not shake Elisha, because Elisha knew that at any time his master was going to be taken from him. You see, Elijah walked so close to God that he could literally prophesy his own death. Said to Elisha, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to go home. I'm ready to go be with the fathers. I'm getting ready to leave you. What do you want me to do for you before I leave? What is your last request of me? I'm about to leave you here. Elisha knew that if Elijah said it, it was coming to pass. Because Elijah never prophesied anything that did not have honesty and integrity wrapped up in it. So that he knew then that I need to stick close beside my Lord. He didn't give me a date and time to his demise. He merely said, I'm getting ready to be taken away from you. And since you've asked for this special request, you will need to stick close to me even unto the day of my exodus. How many know tonight that all of us got a date with exodus? We've all got to exit out of here. We've all got to leave here one day or another. But that is not the issue. The issue is, it's your business fixed up before you leave here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when Elisha was taken up, Elisha was there for Elijah's exit. One occasion, Elijah said to Elisha, I need you to stay here while I go over there. Elisha said, I can't do that. You might just take your exit over there while I'm over here, and I might not see you when you take your exit. No, my Lord, I'm with you for the long haul. I'm with you to the very end. And the Bible says he traveled with Elijah everywhere he went. And every time Elijah turned, there was Elisha. Let me ask you, how close are you hanging out with your Elijah? Every child of God ought to have an Elijah that you look up to. Every child of God ought to have some mentor that you look up to that make you say, I want just as much as he has, if not double of what he has. Paul had Timothy. Yes, he did. And Barnabas had John Mark. Who do you have as your mentor? Who are you looking up to? Who have you allowed yourself to become attached to, who can bless your life at the end of their journey? Oh, I thank God for the mentors he placed in my life, whom he allowed me to walk with on the journey and experience the supernatural power of God working in them and through them, to the end that some of that anointing that they had fell on me. I praise God that I had enough sense to hang out with a little lady by the name of Lois Proctor. I had enough sense to get close to her because I saw something on her I didn't see on anybody else. And I knew she was real because the woman went through much persecution and was made mockery of. I knew this had to be something unique, because whenever, anytime people are trying to block you and sit you down for talking about his goodness, you've got to be somebody special. And I'm delighted at the close of her journey, as she began to make her exit out, standing there beside her bedside, she uttered these words, I need you to understand that I'm on my way out, but the Lord has already equipped you for what you need, and the Lord will give you a double portion of his joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And when I now look back at those days to where I am right now, I can't help but lift my hands and give God glory, because many who said, I'd never amount to nothing, I'm wasting my time with that little old lady, she's going to cause you to lose out. I'm so glad that right now I've gone places I've only dreamed of going. I've done things I've only dreamed of doing. I've preached in places I never thought I'd preach in. I've allowed the Lord to have such a unique way in my life that when I stand to preach his word, don't need manuscript, don't need anybody to hand me any notes, don't have any footnotes, can walk down the street, oh, you don't hear me, on a normal day, and sermons are developed in my spirit. Don't ask me how it happens. All I know, it just happens, and I just believe it's because of who I hooked up with at the early stage of my journey, and I did not allow what people said to deter me, to distract me, to discourage me, but allowed what she said and what God did in her to be a standing testimony that if he did it for her, he'll do it for me. And Lord, I want to do more than what she is doing. Give God glory. Elisha was Elijah's protege. And the Bible says when he saw his master taken away, he cried, alas, my master, the chariots of fire. Elijah was then lifted up, transported to the end that he never tasted death. Never tasted it. And the Bible says, at his mantle, fell on Elisha. And Elisha, standing there looking up at his master being taken away in awe, picked up the mantle, went across to the Jordan River, took the mantle and hit the water, and the water parted open. He knew then that I now received a double portion, because my master never parted any rivers. He's never parted any bodies of water. I'm now doing what my master never did. Oh, you better give God praise. Won't he do it tonight? God will take you places where others who've gone before you have never dared to go. They only dreamed about going. And so it's no secret that while he is in Samaria, while he's there at his abode, that the news gets out that there's a man in Samaria who has an anointed life. And beloved, it does matter what kind of reputation you build. It does matter what kind of name you build for yourself. It does matter who you hang out with. It does matter who you hook up with, because a man is known by the company he keeps. To the end that his fame went out from among him. Because when you walk with God, you don't have to promote yourself. Your gift will make room for you and cause you to stand before great men and women. All you got to do is walk in your gifting. I wonder who I'm talking to tonight who refuses to walk in your gifting, because you don't want to walk in somebody else's shadow. You don't want to be mistaken as somebody who's before you. I slip by to tell you, you might as well stop your fighting. It's like trying to kick against the pricks. What God has for other people, he's got something totally different for you. God is not calling you to be like anybody else, but God wants to use you within the context of your own unique character, within the context of your own unique gifting. He wants to use you to lift you from where you are, that you might reach those who are lost, that you might reach those who are out, that you might bring those who are out in, that you might encourage those who are down. I thank God tonight that what I have, God gave me. I thank God tonight that where I am, the Lord brought me. I thank God tonight that where I'm going, God's going to take me. And I don't have to be a fake imitation of anything or anybody else. I can be comfortable in my own skin and enjoy the Lord for myself, because what God has done and given me, it is for me. Come on, give him glory. glory, but I just want to live so that somebody else can look at what God is doing in me and say, Lord, if you did it for him, surely you can do it for me. Is there anybody here tonight want God to do anything special for you? Anybody here tonight want God to use you for his glory? You ought to say, Lord, do it for me. I don't want to be no slouch. I don't want to be no bookend. I want to be a major player on the stage of life. Come on, let's give him praise tonight. Why would you settle for less when you can have God's best for your life? Hallelujah. So what they laugh at you. So what they talk about you. So what they make mockery of you. But I know a God who sits high and looks low with a hand of power and a heart of love, and he's able to take your messed up life, turn it around, and do the wonderful, do the supernatural, do the stupendous with your life. Let's give him praise. Let me close. Yes. This man's reputation had preceded him.
Yeah.
To the end that word got out. The Bible says when the Sumerians, when the Syrians invaded, if you will, Israel, they took captive a young maiden who's what we would call a young damsel, a 12-year-old girl. Put her in Naaman's employ to serve his wife. Naaman, the scripture opens up talking about all of his bravery.
Yeah.
Here's a man who's tight with the king of Assyria. You can't get any more influence than having earthly influence than to have influence with the king. Not only has he influence with the king, he is captain of the Assyrian host, which says he's been entrusted with military authority.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
Spirit 1400.